bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. And it's Pop Off Friday. And my title today is Dear MPS Teachers. So, MPS is starting to do some great things, I believe. Everybody's giving pushback already. They talked about the budget. Principals need to have access to their money. And so we've been wasting time and energy and talking about things that don't seem to matter with MPS. Like, shouldn't the teacher be talking about, I don't know, education? Shouldn't principals be pushing education and that they don't have to worry about a budget? They get to hand off information and things that need fixing to people. It's not by accident one of the first people let go was the guy that's in charge of maintenance that wasn't doing maintenance. You got a maintenance budget, but maintenance isn't getting done. You got union workers taking their time fixing stuff, generating job security, when in fact, they should be just doing their job. If we paid maintenance people the way we pay people with state contracts for construction, all of MPS would be beautiful right now. X, I'm giving you 3 weeks to paint this room. For every day you finish away from the date, you get a bonus. So if I'm going to pay you $1,000 to paint this room and I give you 15 days, if you do it on 14 days, I'm going to give you $1,100. I was going to go to $50, but anyway. And if you finish it 2 days out, I give you $1,200. Think about that. So essentially, if you finish that three-week job that costs $1,000 a week early, you'll come up with $1,500. And then you lock in X amount of that. Like, you only get, like, 5 days early. If you do it 6 days early, you're only getting the $500. But at least there's some incentive built in, right? We'll fix it when we fix it. It's on a list. We'll get to it in order, blah, 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 blah. Story from CBS 58. The public has its first chance Thursday, June 5th, that's last night, to share their thoughts on the NPS Superintendent Brenda Casellas' first proposed budget. Now, remember, she took this budget that went out to the public that was 100 and something, you know, 300, 400, 500 pages and made it 50, 51 pages so they showed the highlights and the summary because she gave you an executive summary of the budget. Most of the remarks revolved around two things: frustration over a lack of increased funding for extracurricular activities. Now, why are you complaining about something that you can't do and you don't have when the prior superintendent didn't take care of the money the way it was supposed to, so it didn't come in, so you don't have extra money? Now you have to take whatever extra money you have, I don't know what I'm saying extra for, whatever money in the other parts of the budget to fill a $16.5 million gap for special education. The other one is concern over a push to move decisions out of schools and into NPS central office. At the start of her presentation, she was blunt about the problems facing the district, discussing challenges in a way previous administration and board leaders have not. She noted the abysmal scores on the 2024 national testing. 12%, 12. That's out of 100 kids, only 12 of them in fourth grade were proficient in math. 9% of those same fourth graders were proficient in reading. If you can't read and do math, you can't do anything in life. She also mentioned the 21 students who've died from homicide this year, just as of May 5th, noting it's possible that number has increased in weeks. And then somebody questioned, well, why'd she bring up homicides? Well, better education, better thoughts, better thoughts, better knowledge, better decision making. Some of the signature changes in the budget is a shift that gives the administration way more say on individual schools' budgets, taking some of those decisions away from principals. Casellas says this will free up principals to focus more on the instruction and culture in their schools. Parents and teachers who spoke last night were skeptical of the plan, saying it would worsen inequalities between schools. How would it worsen inequalities between schools when the people who are in charge of the money are the ones that give you the money? So it's not like if you got a $100,000 budget, you don't have a $100,000 budget. You just got to watch what you spend it with. This idiocy now in nonprofit world and not-for-profit world of, hey, I know what we're going to do. We got to spend all the money or else we'll get less last time or we'll only get the same amount. We got to show that we need more, so we're going to spend it all and then ask for more. Why? If it's not going for salaries, what's it going for? While I understand, this is what Angela Harris, chair of the Black Educators Caucus, said. While I understand the intention may be to create consistency across the district, centralization often comes at the cost of equity. How is that? When financial decisions are moved further up, further away from school communities, we risk silencing the voices closest to the needs of our students. Where'd that come from? Is there data? Is there a study? Where's that come from? Why is a principal in charge of a budget anyway? They're an educator. Let financial people take care of budgets. Let the principal take care of the teachers. Other common concerns came from the MTEA, the teachers union, of course, had an agreement in place to guarantee steady funding for extracurriculars by having it as an item in the district's overall budget. Currently, extracurricular funding is handled at the individual school level, and speakers said that's unfair to students in NPS least desirable schools. How is that? How is it undesirable? Students have, so here's the answer from Nicolo Honorato, and I hope I'm saying the name right, who's a teacher. Students have been asking for those opportunities for years, and if we want to have engaged students, we have to provide them opportunities to engage, to find things that inspire them. And it is our duty to provide the funding that facilitate that. Why don't you try doing that in the classroom? Why don't you try doing that? And your argument can't be you're not a teacher or you're not a licensed teacher, so you don't understand. It's idiotic. This year's budget, propped up by $51 million coming from the April 2024 referendum, Milwaukee voters narrowly pass. Most of the referendum's $252 million will be gone by next year. And Casella said the district faces a projected budget deficit between $75 and $110 million without a significant boost in state funding. And even if that happens, she acknowledged MPS will have to make tough decisions about consolidating low-enrolled schools and downsizing its 9,500-person workforce. In the immediate future, the MPS board will have the next couple of weeks to amend the budget, and the board is set to vote on adopting a final budget on June 24th. And so what we have here is accountability, and we have transparency, and nobody likes transparency, clearly, in the Milwaukee Public School District, especially teachers and union leaders. Transparency means we don't have the money. Transparency means we have to stop milking taxpayers over and over and over and over while we make mistakes and make them pay for it. And then we lie and say that this money is good, and then this is all we'll need, and then as soon as you get it, say you're going to need another referendum. It was a lie. It was a lie. And everybody's pretending like these prior superintendents who have jacked the Milwaukee public school system like they don't exist anymore. Well, they're out of office, so we're not going to talk about them. Well, then let's talk about the principals. Let's talk about the union. Let's talk about the board that let all this happen anyway. And so to vote a woman out as board chair and then have her voted in as vice chair and then have the vice chair become the chair means what? Nothing's changed. And they're going to figure out a way to kowtow to the unions, and they're going to jack MPS Superintendent Dr. Brenda Casellas. They're going to jack her budget, and she's going to be stuck with the same garbage that we had before. Or they'll let her do what they hired her to do. If you're going to pay me $400,000, pay me so that I could do my job. Pay me and let me do what you asked me to do. Because then you can't blame her. The blame won't go to the superintendent. It will go to the school board and the teachers' union. And subsequently, the teachers. So dear MPS teachers, get out of your own way. Follow what your boss says. Find it interesting, you don't follow your boss, but you expect children to follow you. When you're setting the example of dismissing what you're told to do and do what you want to do. We want to have control of our own money. We're going to do what we want to do. The children don't know and the children don't care. They just want to go to school, learn, and have a good time. Schools should be a sanctuary, not nonsense. And you make it bad for all of the outstanding, phenomenal public school licensed teachers in the state of Wisconsin that spend money out of their own pockets to make sure kids have what they need. And when you have money, teachers still pay money out of their pockets. You know why? Because they want what they want. Because every school needs something different because the kids are different. But this separation, talking about black kids need something that white kids don't, I don't remember that going to school. And I went to a school that was all black. Elementary, middle school, and in high school, we had one Hispanic girl because where my school was located, right under the viaduct, was a huge Spanish community. And I still remember her name. Everybody knew her. And there was no cultural issue at all. Because the school graduated 100%. Of fourth graders are proficient at math. 9% are proficient at reading. And you're stuck on the budget. Dr. Caselius, what is the number you want children to be at next year? I want 13% doing math, fourth graders, to be proficient. And I want 10% of those doing reading. That's all. It's kind of simple. Fourth graders, I want the 12% to move to 13. I want the 9% for reading to turn to 10. That's it. Fix the buildings. Cure the lead. And go from there. Teachers that don't want to teach, quit. Teachers that don't like it, quit. Teachers think they need more money, pay it yourself or quit. It sounds like you're going to be held accountable. If you don't work with this superintendent, the board is going to cut those. Easiest thing to do to save 9,500 person workforce is to simply what? Consolidate schools. And unfortunately, when you consolidate schools, you don't need everybody. And those schools that need more security, more assistance, more clerks, for lack of a better phrase, school secretaries, school nurses, all the extra, send them to the schools that need it. We're talking about where short teachers and teachers are working as specialists. So if we're going to spend extra money, let's spend extra money paying those specialists to stay after school to help those kids bring up their reading and math levels. Let's do that. Otherwise, we're going to be here on June 6, 2026, God forbid, and I'm going to be on here on a pop-off Friday, which will probably be a Thursday, saying what? Dear MPS teachers.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Well, it ain't traffic time, that's for sure. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Talking text line, got nothing to do with teachers. You always complain it, Gary, every time. Got nothing to do with teachers. Teachers don't control funding. You're missing the point. I'm talking about the teachers that were at the school board meeting. That's one. Number two, in the end, teachers request principals have budgets. They make decisions at the school level. Teachers ask, hey, we need money for this. We need money. I'm sure they have input. Them and the assistant principals. Come on. Gary just is opposite of everything I say. I say left, he says right. Even if I'm right. So, whatever. Okay. Thank you for that, Gary. 833-212-1017 is the number. Oh, I see Kwanda's back. Hey, what's up, y'all? Sincere, Mao. Everybody's there. Ain't y'all supposed to say hello to me first? Supposed to say hello to me. I feel slighted. Why? Because it's pop-off Friday. I feel slighted. I feel, as they say, I feel some kind of way. Oh, by the way, feeling some kind of way. Yeah. Right now it's 70 degrees. Tonight it's going to drop to a low of 53. Winds are from the northeast at 9 miles an hour. Dew point at 43%. Pressure's going down. Visibility is at about 10 miles. Do you keep up with the moon phase, anybody? The moon is in waxing gibbous, G-I-B-B-O-U-S. I have no idea what the heck that means. Do I care? Nope. No. They estimate overnight it'll be about 55 degrees. The low's going to get about 53. So, you know, the high today was 71. Now it's down to 70 and going from there. Should I cheat and look at what's tomorrow? Saturday, a high of 69, low 56, partly cloudy with a 5% chance of rain. Sunday is high is 71, low is 56 p.m. thunderstorm, 70% chance. So we'll have rain maybe Sunday, a little bit Monday is at 58%, and then it goes back down. Why are we in the rain? Isn't it supposed to rain in May? It's June already. It's almost springtime. Almost springtime, and it's starting to rain. People are like, why are you complaining about everything? Because it's Pop-Off Friday. And when it's Pop-Off Friday, we complain. That's all. We complain every Friday. 833-212-1017 is the number. Question, is there a such thing as reverse discrimination? Because I know people are shaking their head yes, but I would say no. I think that if we're going to apply the Constitution to everybody, well, it wouldn't apply to everybody. Well, all things being equal, if we're to apply the Constitution to everybody, then discrimination is discrimination. Evidently, the U.S. Supreme Court feels the same way. Only two black Supreme Court justices, I'm sorry, the only two black Supreme Court justices, Clarence Thomas and Ketanji Brown Jackson, share a difference of opinion in a recent decision that made it easier for reverse discrimination lawsuits in the workplace to be filed. That makes absolutely no sense, because when you say something that you can't discriminate based on race, that's everybody's race. If it's gender, it's everybody's gender. If it's age, it's everybody's age. Thomas, who is conservative, blames employers' obsession with DEI in the case of a straight white woman who claimed she was passed over for promotions in favor of gay employees. American employers have long obsessed with diversity, equity, inclusion, and affirmative action plans. Initiatives of this kind have often led to overt discrimination against those perceived to be in the majority. Well, sometimes it has, but most of the time it hasn't. So what happens is a company gets to apply it based on how they feel. Affirmative action, we have to have. Like everybody's screaming, we have an act. It's codified. There's nothing you can do about it. But it applies to everybody. You can't say, literally, it's unconstitutional that says this American doesn't get it, but this American does. For whatever reason. That's part of the fight. And that's why I keep saying we need to make our own everything. If there's something we don't like, create our own, and then we don't have to bother. Now, the flip side to that is, well, let me give another example. It's like having a historically black college or university. Federal money goes through loans and federal grants and all that stuff, support to HBCUs. And that's a general statement. So if it goes to an HBCU and the HBCU accepts the money, then they have to follow the law. Following the law means what? Following the law means that you cannot discriminate. So when a white guy goes to Morehouse College or a white girl goes to Spelman, you can't turn her away because she's white. You cannot discriminate. Any more so than if you went to a predominantly white school, they can't turn you away because you're black. That's just how life is. That's what it says. It's not just for indigenous people, just for Hispanic people, just for Asian, just for black people, and white people just kind of go on their own. If they want to go to your school and it's an HBCU and they got the grades and they outshine, I don't know, just make up a number, 80% of the people applying, and out of that 20% that's left, you have space for them, let them in. Because that's what we would expect. Because that's what the law says. But in the end, the Constitution is for everybody. I remember when the 17 lieutenants, all white, some of whom I used to think were friends of mine, but now I don't think so because of what they did and how they did it. If you want to sue and you're white and you want to sue to get a job because you think black people aren't smart enough to do a job that you can do, that's one thing. That's within your right. But when you get on a stand and start talking about black executive command staff and call them stupid because they have a southern accent, call them uneducated because you think they don't know what they're doing and they have master's degrees, more education than the knucklehead trying to get the job who never even went to college, got all their training in executive command staff training but never went to college, but they automatically think they're better. Now, if a white guy did it and promoted black people, would they have fought? Probably not. Why? Because there have been white chiefs that promoted black people and no white people complained about it. But when a black chief, Arthur Jones, promotes people, well, he has to have promoted them because they're black, because we know black people aren't smart enough to be executive command staff. And that's where we are. And now we hide that in women, right? So now we just promote white women and then pretend, oh, well, it's she's a minority. Nah, I don't think so. And so what this woman did, who was white, took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And you know what her argument was? She alleged discrimination due to her what? Sexual orientation, the fact that she was heterosexual and they hired minorities and someone that was gay, she got passed over and that she believed she was better qualified. And they looked at it and she was better qualified. She got passed over for promotion in 2019 for a lesbian woman, and then Ames said that she was replaced by a gay man. So they wouldn't give anybody, straight or white, the job. Justice Department, the American First Legal Foundation, and the Libertarian Pacific Legal Foundation supported her. NAACP, Defense and Education Funds, one of the first organizations to support Ohio in this case. The Cincinnati-based 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled for Ohio when it came to the background circumstances requirement. Now, what they have is there's a background circumstances that they look at to say, well, what's your background? If all things are equal, they look at your background. Where are you from? Race, age, gender, all that stuff. I don't understand why. Black people have always been taught you got to be 3 times better in order to be considered equal. I think we should pick up that mantle again. If white people can believe they're smart by virtue of just they're white and we just like it's generally accepted that they're smarter, then black people should think that they're 3 times as smarter and act accordingly and then show it with excellence like they always do. But what we forget is that the law applies to everybody. You don't get to exclude white people. Right? Because now, here's what we're going to get the same type of lawsuits that we got from MPD and the 17 white lieutenants. Everything's going to be reverse discrimination. Black person's going to walk in, overly qualified, higher degrees, twice as much experience, and the first thing they're going to say is they got hired because they're black. And the other person won't have a pot to blank in and a window to throw it out of. But they're going, if the person you're talking to believes that white people are smarter, then they're just going to automatically assume that the white person in the group is smarter. You could have a group of black officers standing there. One of them can have on gold on their shield, sergeant or lieutenant, and they'll always walk up to the white person and ask them the question as if they're in charge. Example, before we go to break. I was working at District 6. I was the lieutenant, the shift commander. About six sergeants under me, three shifts, maybe, let me see. At the time, maybe around 60 cops. And the person comes in and says, I would like to talk to the boss. And so I walk up. Who are you? I'm Lieutenant Harris. No, I want to talk to the boss. Now, meanwhile, there's a white police officer saying, ma'am, talking to the white woman, this is the boss. You don't have a sergeant around here? Ma'am, he outranks the sergeant. He's a lieutenant. The only other person is the captain, and they're not here because it's in the late evening. What can we do for you? I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to file a complaint because I think you're lying. Can I talk to one of those officers? You mean the other white officers? No, ma'am. Well, why not? Because you asked to speak to a supervisor, right? I'm two ranks above them. What are we doing? And to have to deal with that nonsense over and over and over every day, all day. But then, don't black people do that too? Y'all ain't got nobody black here I could talk to? Don't you feel better when you go in and see somebody black there? You want to go talk to them? You go to a conference and it's like 12 white people and two black people and you're black. So you immediately connect with them. Yeah, white people do that too. Except the mindset isn't the same. The mindset isn't we're outnumbered and I feel self-conscious. Theirs is I'm in charge. So why wouldn't it be like this? Like this is the normal way. There always has to be more white people. Even though you're in a country where there isn't more white people. But we're going to count the way we need to count, discount people we need to discount, so we can make sure it's predominantly white. When you have a school district, that when you add up the black, Hispanic, and Asian, and indigenous students, there's a minority of white students in MPS. But yet the majority of decisions, the majority of, well, I can't say money because I haven't seen the budget. The majority of all the great things that are going on in great schools ain't on the north side where black people live. There ain't on the, ain't, am I supposed to say ain't? Ain't on the near south side where Hispanic people live. Why is that? Because the people that control the money in Madison don't look like us. You can support your race. Just don't be overbearing about it. Sometimes we just get overbearing. And when I say we as in America, we get overbearing. There's nothing wrong with loving your race. As a black man, I love my race. I love my race more than other races. I say that publicly, and it is what it is. It just is. Interesting. I heard that. I hear that. That's on the air. It's Friday. Well, we back at 7 now. The 7 minus 2, now we're back up to 7. No, sir. No, sir. After today, I'm at like 8. So we have this ongoing silliness where every time there's a mistake made and it's not my mistake, he has to buy me a cigar. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it, but it used to be dinner, but if we go to dinner, he going to eat all the food because he's bigger than me. So, you know, that's that. But, right? So I was up to 7 cigars and then he had 2 perfect days. And so, right? So, no. We're even. No. We erase your 2 mistakes because I made a mistake. Remember with the microphone? when I coughed. So, yeah, I guess we're back even. We're back even. 833-212-1017 is the number. What is this, the reverse discrimination thing? Can somebody help me with that? Somebody help me. 833-212-1017 is the number. Or you can hit me on the YouTube chat. Always stream and watch us live here at YouTube at 1017thetruth.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe and hit the notification bell so you never miss a minute of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
She's the kind of girl you want to marry. 833-212-1017 is the number. Don't be playing Robin Thicke on my show. I don't like Robin Thicke. The way he treated his wife. Nope. Bump Robin Thicke. No Robin Thicke. Huh? How'd he treat his wife? You don't know. Oh, that's right. You weren't born. My bad. You were born, but no. No Robin Thicke. No Robin Thicke. No Chris Brown. No Will Smith. The fact that he slapped somebody on international TV? Yeah, that? Yeah. No. No Will Smith. Defending a woman who slept with her son's friend? No. I don't think so. I'm so glad I paused what I was about to say. 833-212-1017 is the number. Lisa, you're on the award-winning 1017 The Truth.
Hello, Dr. Ken. How are you?
I'm great. How are you this Friday?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Can't complain. But black people, we can't discriminate. Every black person in this world, we can't discriminate. We don't have the, economic finance. We don't have the structure. We don't have
Lisa,
the businesses.
Lisa,
we don't have any
Lisa,
of that to do that.
Stop that. I think that's total nonsense.
We don't.
Stop.
No, we don't.
Stop.
Now, I believe we should.
Why
do.
Is it that when we talk about black people having power and we want to have power and we're great and we're all this, but then when it comes to one of us doing something that's unseemly or something that's not above board, we don't have the power. We don't have the money. We don't we don't have an intellect. We don't have like.
Let me
ask
you something.
Yes.
No, I'm not saying all that. Let me say this. If I owned a grocery store, okay. In my neighborhood, how many white people do you think will come to my grocery store?
That's a fool's argument, because your argument is only going to have information that supports you, not me.
It's just like when I moved to Minnesota, I lived in a suburb. Now,
okay.
I needed some soul food. I needed some chitlins, some ham hocks and all that for my family to come by. Okay, I went to Cubs. Cubs, I'm used to in Milwaukee having it. Okay, so I went there. I couldn't find it.
Cubs has food based on the neighborhood that they're in. All stores do that. That's why you can go to some Walgreens and they don't have it. Okay, so is that discrimination?
Right.
Time out. Is that discrimination?
Okay, but,
it discrimination?
Yeah, it can be.
It is not.
It can be.
It is not.
It's just like.
I'm not going to have something in a store that won't sell. That's like you having white women's perm in your store where you only sell to black people. Listen to what I'm saying.
It does fail.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
White women's stuff. White women's stockings, hair, all that stuff, right? Black women don't buy it, but you got it in your store. Why?
White women, because we don't have the white woman hair.
You're missing my
point.
Yeah,
white women, they do wear weaves. No.
You're missing my point.
But you're saying it's, okay, repeat that again now.
Bottom line is, based on what you said, that only supports what you're saying, and it doesn't include any other information that could be there. So in your argument, of course you're going to be right. But the bottom line is that black people are in spaces where they can discriminate. And I'm sure some of them do, just like everybody does.
It's not like we're gonna. Okay, if a white woman comes to my black hair salon, you can't come in. We only do black patrons. We only deal with black people.
And most white people already know that, and they don't come in. Do you go to a white hairstylist?
Come on now,
black
people that you know?
Uh huh.
Yes. Yep, she right there on a 30. No,
nah,
40,
don't say the name.
Right
there
on 46th and Burleigh.
See?
Right there. The ladies know she owned a barbershop right there on
46th. Please don't do that.
American
don't
Black
give out.
Don't do that.
Listen to what I'm saying.
She does my hair.
Don't do that on the air. Don't do it on the air. Thank you.
So don't do what on the air?
Mention names and dates and places and addresses and all that stuff. Because we can't verify any of that.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said an address.
The young ladies that's listening, that
the point that I'm trying to make,
they
know exactly what I'm trying to say, and you can come up with every because there's always an exception. You can always come up with an exception, but the bottom line is that as black people, some of us have the power to discriminate, and when we come in,
we make
ourselves
look.
That's not true. You don't think black people discriminate?
Okay.
Black people discriminate against black people.
Nah, it's just like when black people protest. Is it discriminated if they say, look, white people, we love you enough, y'all sit down, and we're going to just protest on our own? Would that be discrimination?
No, discrimination would be as if they showed up and you turned them away. That's discrimination.
Okay, so if they show up and they turn them away.
And that has happened at times. And that has happened at times.
Sure,
if you show up at a white... If you show,
Ken, what, I'm going to call you Sherwin.
What?
I'm about to call you Sherman by mistake.
Oh, I'm hanging up.
Ken,
okay, bye.
When
bye.
And where?
See, I'm
don't
done.
Do that.
I'm done.
No,
bye.
I'm sorry.
You called me Sherman.
I'm sorry.
Have a great evening. Goodbye, Lisa.
Bye.
I'm running out of time. All right, bye. Sherwin. What's wrong with it? I still got another break, don't I? Yeah, I need to because she broke me.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Since I got less than a minute. Thank you, Lisa. I'm just kidding. Sections of Interstate 894 will be closed today through the 9th and the 13th through the 16th as the Wisconsin Department of Transportation continues its road work on the highway. So that means from the Mitchell Interchange to the Hale Interchange, that is going to be closed. That's a long, doggone way. It's going to be closed. So you're not going to be able to drive on 94 or 41894 all the way south to the Hale Interchange this weekend for 54 hours. You might want to check. Top 5 at 5 up next.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.